I think they'll soon realize how mobile the mining industry can be.
Just, look at China.
They'll all just up and leave.
Right, Bricklayers episode 120. Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'll follow you anywhere, Molly.
Whoop, whoop.
I was trying to stay quiet so we could just get through the agenda.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to hype people.
We're whooping it, mate. It's 120.
120 episodes.
120. We have done 120 episodes of this show. Isn't that great?
Yep.
All right. Welcome back. Yep. Like and subscribe. And on with the show. Let's keep that bit short and sweet. Right. We'll come back to the Bitcoin price because it's not written down here. Agenda. BBC News, there was an update to last week's podcast. Biden administration, they're proposing tax on Bitcoin mining. VanEck eliminating fees on their ETF. Coinbase offering $1 billion of convertible notes. It says Time Draper. Tim Draper. Tim Draper. He said the El Salvador will be able to pay off the IMF if Bitcoin hits 100K. Bitcoin MENA 2024 has been announced. Williston school kids visit Coin Corner. Whoop. And then announcement at the end.
Little baby whoop for that one.
That's quite cute, isn't it? The future of Bitcoin, the future of generation.
Cool, man.
Right.
For the
Bitcoin
kids.
Price. Yeah. I don't know what it is because it's not written down here. So I'm hoping for a live.
Going to go for a 68,300.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Down a bit since.
What price was it last episode?
Can I?
A 69,666.
Yep.
Just under 7.
Okay, so we're pretty much where we were almost. But we did go in the meantime to...
Yeah, in between all that.
73.5, I think it was.
But we've also been down low, weren't we? 66. A couple of days ago.
The roller coaster that we live on.
Feel like Mikey's panicking here. Loads of
a lot of clicking going on.
Yeah.
It was a false start to the pod. We're getting there now, though.
Come on.
But that's not a bad price considering everything. Did anybody look at some of the potential reasons to the price drops?
No.
You see, I think I'd shared about the Bitfinex whale doing his longs, taking profits, squeezing the price down. And you could see on their chart the dip every time he closed positions. So there was definitely some of that by the looks of it. There was also, I saw about, it's not in here, on the list of the agenda, but there was a hedge fund apparently, which I don't know how true it is because I need to have a look at that properly, and no one's named the hedge fund yet, but the hedge fund was shorting MicroStrategy but buying Bitcoin, which I'm very confused at because that would go in tandem. I'm not sure what they were trying to achieve there, and apparently they got squeezed and it was about $1 billion worth of Bitcoin that they had to then, I don't know if they had to sell to a position or what happened there, but apparently some of that downwards pressure over the weekend was meant to have been that and them in trouble, whoever that hedge fund is. So it was like a...
Is that why everybody on Twitter was talking about not buying MicroStrategy? There was a whole thing over the weekend.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that.
Oh.
Don't know. No, so these guys were short in MicroStrategy, I think. So it would have been better for the community to buy that and force the price up to squeeze them out because they were short in it.
That seems a bit daft, doesn't it? Because like a normal hedge, you would kind of, they're too closely related. So yeah. It's like hedging by buying and like by longing and shorting Bitcoin, which is silly.
So I'm not sure what they must have thought, though, that MicroStrategy's price has gone up so high that it doesn't correlate enough with the Bitcoin movement, where because they don't own enough. What's their valuation now? Is it like 20 odd billion, is it, something like that?
I don't know.
It's quite high, whereas they only hold like 6 or 7 billion worth of Bitcoin. So are they thinking the gap between the Bitcoin they hold and the valuation of the company is too big a gap, so it should squeeze down? So maybe there's something in there that they thought.
Is he fundamentally changing what MicroStrategy core businesses?
Because
he's calling it a Bitcoin like a infrastructure development company now, isn't he?
Well, they've always just been like an analytics software company. They've just built analytics software, haven't they?
But is their focus now completely away from that? Are they still?
No, that must be their bread and butter, right? And then there is focus on like the mining tooling and stuff like that. Yeah. We haven't seen too much of that yet. But
if you were working there, imagine how good you'd be if you were on like the bread and butter team, and the other team, there was another team that was doing cool Bitcoin stuff. Like, you'd just be like, oh.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, to be honest.
It's interesting.
I don't know enough.
Right, moving on anyway. That's enough about price.
Okay.
Sorry, let's get.
Yeah, I think the price pull down is just.
Dave, did you not hear that?
I did hear that.
Dave was not working on
it back this week.
Sorry, but like, okay. Shh. All right. Shh.
Right. BBC News update.
BBC News, yes. We've got another clip.
The comments on your reaction videos last week were hilarious.
Have they been
in contact yet?
Oh, yeah. Have they been in contact?
No. Have you passed on your details to them?
Well,
it was a public pass on of details.
There's the journalist on here in a second, which you'll see. He's active on Twitter.
Definitely got a, like, contact us.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, but that's not how you contact them.
All the people complaining about paying a licensing fee, you just join that queue.
We're working on it. Work in progress.
Okay.
But the guy in this one is active on socials.
Can we make a bet? I don't think he'll be on the BBC in the next year, 12 months. You've got 12 months to go on the
12
BBC.
Months. Well, define on the BBC, like BBC News.
We've been in the BBC already.
On BBC News. I'll give you News 24.
I've been on BBC World News before.
No, on BBC and News 24, UK version.
Yeah, that was the UK version of BBC World News.
You've been on it?
Yeah, I've been on
it. Can I see that clip somewhere?
Oh, it's great. It's the one with, what's he called? Stiglitz thingy?
Mm-hmm.
The Economist. It was like meant to be a debate between the two of us.
Okay. Was there a video of you on it?
No, it was just sound in the end. And it was between me and him. Yeah. But it ended up being the journalist that asked us questions but kept us separate.
Did he win?
No, he was embarrassed himself, didn't he, unfortunately?
Yeah.
For him.
I'm trying to remember.
I didn't get to hear what he said, so I didn't get to debate him in that
respect.
They recorded
separately and then cut together like a debate.
It was very odd the way they did it.
It was weird.
It did come off still, though, quite good for Bitcoin rather than him, which was quite good. Joseph Stiglitz?
When did you do that?
Called?
Years ago.
2018, 19, was that maybe?
Right, I didn't know about that.
If I can find it, I'll put it in the description.
We've got a record of it somewhere. Yeah. I'd love to actually hear back what it says because I can't remember. it was done.
But how did they contact you for that?
That was via our PR agency at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it was
no invite back though. So
no.
Yeah.
What does that tell you?
Yeah, what does it tell you? They don't lie the truth.
But they got Stiglitz.
I'll see these clips about that guy again.
He probably did. Well, he's a famous world economist, isn't he? Like he's meant.
He's pretty famous.
He's not Nobel Prize winner. He's like some very
esteemed company.
I know. Though. Yeah. Just Google him. I can't remember his name now.
I think it was Joseph, wasn't it?
Joseph
Stiglitz.
Stiglitz, or
probably butchering it. To be fair.
Yeah. What's this? Not return.
That's the one. American economist.
Yeah.
The guy.
Okay.
Recipient of a Nobel Prize in economic science.
Well, there you go. How did it feel to be talking to a Nobel Prize winner?
I just abused him in a weird debate, which...
Is it 81 now?
Right, come on.
You're absolutely
an old man.
Bullying. Owned by a guy in his late 70s.
We'll listen back to it next week, actually. That'd be good.
Let's react.
Yeah, let's react. So what's this?
This was a follow-up, wasn't it? Was it?
Kind of, yeah. I'm not really sure. This was just another segment. It was only 2.5 minutes, but it was, again, they brought on another Bitcoin economist expert, and they had the journo, which went to a cafe in London to pay with Bitcoin. So there's nothing really to go back and forth.
Did they use our point of sale?
No, he didn't. You didn't show him doing anything.
Of course
he sat there eating a burger. You'll see in a minute. Sorry, I'm sorry.
Let's have a look.
He was one of our merchants.
The value of the cryptocurrency Bitcoin raced to an all-time high today. The new price is above $72,000. Earlier this year, US regulators made it easier for investors to trade the currency, which has helped fuel the record-breaking run. And now the UK's financial watchdog says it will loosen some of the rules too. Here's Joe Tidy.
For the last 2 years, lines charting the value of Bitcoin have mostly been in one direction. But in the last few weeks, it's all changed. Almost hourly now, this virtual currency is hitting new all-time highs. The reason? Well, it's mostly down to this place. In January, traders from US investment giants were given the green light by US watchdogs to start selling products linked directly to Bitcoin. As a result, they've spent billions buying up coins. Further stoking the fire, today, UK financial authorities say they too are open to allowing some trading based on crypto assets. Some are now wondering just how far this virtual currency can go.
Some people think that the potential of Bitcoin is to replace all other currencies. And there are shops and restaurants like this one in London that accept Bitcoin. I just bought this £7 burger, for example, which was 0.00009 Bitcoin. But the way prices are going now, who knows what it'll be worth tomorrow?
I don't think we're going to see Bitcoin becoming a genuine currency. Isn't
it? Should we pause there before we come on to Francis?
Oh, is this where it all kicks
off? I mean, why are they not saying ETFs? Why are they all dancing around the word? Is it
just a term that maybe they
don't want? Anything?
They've simplified it, though.
Yeah, is that why? They've just simplified the mainstream.
Probably don't understand, maybe. But again, it was like crypto. It was like, oh, what's the price going to be tomorrow? Is like speculating. It's like trying to, again, like the
I think it's almost like a mocking tone.
Yeah, it is.
Even the main reporter there, it's just like, oh, it's just a toy or a plaything for people that aren't educated or don't understand. That's the tone I get.
It's almost like they have
and
to call it.
But annoys me.
But they're not taking it seriously.
Especially when he opens up with the, it's only been headed one way.
Yeah.
Indicating it's been going down all this time until recently.
So again, it's like at least they've got some, they've learned a little bit from the last one in terms of explaining what an ETF is and showing that's why the price is moving, etc. But then the whole, when they come to the burger thing, it was just again a bit, you know, crypto price speculation moves a lot. It's weird angles.
It also doesn't relate to
don't talk about
what they're reporting on, right? It's talking about investment ETF style and the UK being open to that, not actually paying for a burger with it.
And then they're going and paying for it.
Yeah, it doesn't actually. Yeah.
Same thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Mm-hmm. That burger place looks cool though.
A genuine currency. What I think we're seeing it become is a recognised and potentially widely used investment asset. People buying it to save for the longer term and to benefit from the price rises.
Bitcoin was created by an anonymous...
Is that her? Is that her bit?
That was it.
Oh,
yeah.
Who is she?
That was like... It said financial analyst. Didn't
it? Is she the lady with the pizza? Is she the pizza lady? I can't remember if that was...
That's who you said it was to me.
Just Google that and just validate that before we go any further.
She is on my journalist hit list. I recognise her name.
Is she?
Yeah, I never reached out to her, but...
She was, I believe, the Bitcoin pizza...
No,
it wasn't. It was definitely Francis something.
That's Samantha.
Just Google France. Google her name, Bitcoin. We'll find that.
So imagine being the Bitcoin pizza lady and that you being the top search for something.
You have to get a surname as well, Capallo.
So what was it? Who's the Bitcoin pizza lady? What did she do?
And she didn't. She was basically saying Bitcoin can be infinitely divided. It was that infinitely divided.
Yeah, I remember that. That was funny.
Right.
Okay, so she's written for CoinDesk, this lady.
There you go. She's legit then.
Is she written in a positive or a negative way? Yeah, my thing with her, it wasn't even like watching her do that. It was kind of like, okay, great, but what she actually said was...
What annoys me, right, is no one ever brings this up, and they should. There's, I think in the Sailor Academy and lots of other literature, there is the history of like money and how it performs. And then you might want to get a chat up, Mikey, but it literally says as a currency progresses, it starts off as like a store of value and then migrates into a medium of exchange as other money.
The Lindy effect.
Yeah. I think is it called that?
No, the Lindy effect, longer something.
No.
The longer it survives.
Oh, no, not that one.
Lindy effect's only got 5 stages of currency and it starts as store as value, then moves to medium exchange.
That's not the Lindy effect, but I think someone tried to tie them together to show that, but the effect is on technology of how long something survives.
Right. But anyway, that's my point. I don't know what that chart's called, actually, Mikey, but that's the one I'm after. Because no one ever references it. If it's a great store of value, and Bitcoin can be used as a extremely good medium of exchange with a Lightning network, then that makes it a good, solid, strong currency. And yet people just say, oh, it's been used as a store of value by speculators. Well, actually, if this chart...
Every currency starts always with
transactions. Yeah, essentially.
It's part of its journey.
And then people should be made aware of the fact that's just the start. That's how they all start out.
They do, but it's...
But no one mentions it.
Speculation.
I'd like to see that on the BBC.
Should write in, ask them to...
Where is this chap?
Do you want me to spell it out? There is, with the... Knocks around on Twitter all the time.
Yeah. See it every now. I've seen it millions of times. Just so disappointed that Mikey can't find it instantly.
Disappointing.
It's just such an off day.
I don't think it really has a name, does it? It's just the evolution of... just put the evolution of money, would it be?
I think people might be watching this shouting at us saying it's got a name.
This is going to show us like the bartering to gold. To...
Back to Francis.
Evolution of currency.
Oh, find this chart, Molly. I'm going to take that hammer off you.
No, this the point of this hammer is to keep you on track. We're well off track now.
Yes,
we are right. On track.
We're just doing Google searches.
Mike, you're throwing the image when he sees it.
We'll come back.
Everyone knows that's not a great listening.
Everyone knows the chart I'm talking about. She's referencing the chart, basically, but doesn't tell you what the next steps of it are.
We did find this thing the other week, Mike. You, me, and you, and Henry were looking for it, weren't we? And
yeah, because it's in the presentation that we've been working on.
Yeah.
Not in the effects, that's what that is.
No, it was, yeah, I think we had that conversation. I was saying, yeah, it's not... It's just under wrong.
But when do you often see on the BBC News them talking about history and that kind of thing? It's very much...
But yeah,
they don't go too much in depth, right?
It's well, like, yeah, we're talking about the same organisation that won't say ETF because it's too complex. Mm. And my expectation is them to start talking about a graphical history of how money evolves. So you might be right. I'm asking too much, but it's still annoying.
My only thing with that was they had a 2.5 minute segment, the BBC there, and they put the financial analyst expert on for, was it not even 5 seconds? It was like a 5 second slot where most of it is...
About 25 seconds, yeah.
So it's like a short thing, and she didn't really say much, to be fair.
Pretty vague.
Which, in all fairness, if you only got that time, she probably spent, an hour doing an interview, and then they just took that tiny little piece and pieced it in. But that tiny little piecing it in, there's literally zero education in what she said there. That's just an opinion.
Yeah, but however, it's what it is, isn't it, in terms of what this news outlet's trying to produce. It's a sort of snippet on a... Yeah.
And then if they just put on a Bitcoin animation at the end, what's this?
It's a What is Bitcoin, I think.
Okay. I mean, it's infinitely better than the last news article that we watched.
Oh, yeah. But it's still like, maybe we're... Can we hear it?
Oh, sorry, just let you guys. I wanted to play it while you guys are talking.
Sending an email, all without needing any financial institutions. Bitcoin transactions are processed by a huge network of volunteers who use computers to check transactions. As a reward, they're automatically given new coins. Right now, the demand for those coins seems to be higher than ever, and many Bitcoin fans are celebrating their newfound riches. Others, though, are wondering with caution which way the notoriously unpredictable line will go next. Joe Tidy, BBC News.
So I think the imagery there of physical coins is always confusing, right?
Mikey's having a bad
day. The only key that's not on this keyboard is the mute key.
Mikey.
Yeah, the physical imagery of actual physical coins, I think, is definitely confusing to people. I don't know why.
Yeah, they always do it.
Continue using it.
But because you've got to, like,
you've got to show something.
This is my frustration sometimes, where they're saying there, they're not saying the word ETF to try and simplify it for the end user, but then they're complicating it by throwing in things that...
They just had a guy holding one there.
Not real.
Doesn't exist, yeah.
So you're just confusing the messages.
That animation summary was, I mean, I'm pretty happy with that.
The animation was good.
I would then throw in the 200-day moving average at the price and then maybe say that actually, over a long enough time horizon, there's no volatility.
I don't think the BBC is the right place to educate and do it that way. It's almost just the high-level message that needs to get out there, and then people need to go off and learn a little bit, I guess, themselves. But that high-level message needs to be slowly improved on and could be better. And I think it needs to come from people like genuine experts within what's going on there, not like the people, no offense to them, but like the people that they're getting on are not really experts in any way.
Maybe they're just available at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Well, no, that's 100% it. They once got a guy that came in for an interview on the BBC News and they had him as an expert. And they accidentally put him on the television. Get that clip, Mikey. It's great. Because that. Because he's just there going.
You're digressing. No.
But it's funny.
Go on for next week.
Oh, come on, we're still in the first.
We've got a lot to get through still.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
I know.
Okay, so we'll see if Mikey can find it. That's the guy.
He's got it now. He's pulled
it. Come on.
I think I've seen this.
There's like a moment of panic where he realizes he's wrong, but then he just firms it. He predicted the rise of Spotify streaming. Yeah. You know? Before it even happened, he's like, yes, people want to stream.
So basically, that's the quality of, you know, that's the vetting process, is that they accidentally got that.
Wow.
Anyway.
We need better.
Right. Moving on. The Biden administration is proposing a 30% tax on electricity used by Bitcoin miners.
Yeah, this is just crazy.
This is not good.
I don't get that. I don't get why they would propose this and what the I do know why they want to get more money in taxes, but an industry that's absolutely booming right now in the US is Bitcoin mining, and they are just trying to disrupt it in every way possible. It feels weird.
Does it feel like an attempt to kill it, or attempt to just raise more funds from somewhere?
It's got to be kill it, because I can't imagine a miner is going to stay for 30%.
The worst tax is they're going to charge them the tax on miners that produce their own electricity. So even if you're not using the grid, it's not an energy thing. No. Like they could have literally said, almost put it under energy usage, ESG bull, but
it's a regulated cost almost, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's what they're trying to do. But it's a cost burden when you can just go to a country that's not going to charge them that. And
yeah, they did. Electricity. I think they'll soon realize how mobile the mining industry can be.
Just look at China.
They'll all just up and leave.
3 years ago, was it? There's literally a graph to show you what happened, guys. Take a look.
Bitcoin does not need America. You'll see it being very mobile.
I'm assuming it right now is just a proposal, right? I'm assuming it won't get through, but...
Yeah, so Loomis here was saying that it would basically destroy any chance of America having a foothold in the in the mining industry.
It's crazy. I mean, it's good for the rest of the world. Crack on. But for a US citizen, that's nuts.
Is the US the biggest one now that everyone's come out of China?
I can't remember, to be honest. It's one of the biggest, it'd be that. Yeah. I think Canada's big, isn't it? China's still got a good foothold. Yeah, Kazakhstan was the one that was weirdly big. That was a really big one.
Really cheap energy there, isn't it?
That's what everyone was thinking. Ethiopia and some African countries are really going to huge growth in mining hash rate from those countries soon. It's mobile, man. I think this is probably some sort of play for votes from his demographic of people that may be worried about Bitcoin and all the change. So they just say, disincentivize it, but it won't ever get put through.
Can't imagine it will now.
No.
It has to be a political play, but it's annoying because it's a political play that throws a curveball into the industry, and industry players have to deal with that.
It throws uncertainty in there, doesn't it? If you're a mining operation, you'd be second thoughts now about
it. I see a lot more of it in the upcoming year as well with the election and stuff. So.
It's the time and the resources and everything you put in. We know that. We feel that pain of when things like that happen, they crop up, and you've got to put time and resource into just even understanding it and seeing what's happening and what the impact to your business is. And then you've got to push back against it, and you've got to talk to the right people. It's chaos. It's just not needed. It's unnecessary political play. However, I'm not a Bitcoin miner in the US, so.
Yeah, but I wonder if, how much they're probably not, are they really generating much income for the American economy? These aren't highly staffed organizations.
Not highly staffed. They'll still have a lot of staff dealing with the hardware and stuff. They do still have quite a bit.
If they've just weighed up the advantages of not having a Bitcoin industry versus the political gains in putting the suggestion like this across.
They won't even give a crap about the industry, will they? They'll just be all about the political gains. What random things can we throw into these agendas to make it look good to get more votes?
Taking action on this point.
Yeah, that's literally all they're doing. And it's fucking over other people and other industries in the meantime. And they don't care because it's a political game to them. I'm sure this happens in other industries and we're just not aware of it. We just don't pay attention to it. Yeah. It will no doubt be happening. We're just caught in the crosshairs.
You got it?
Crossfire.
Boom.
Next.
Then we're going to have to ban that.
Go next.
We could have had a good debate about the free market there and disincentivizing stuff.
Only on the third topic, so we've got to move on.
I'm going to get a bigger hammer just to take it off you guys when you start arguing between yourselves on this.
Then I get even bigger.
Take over the agenda. Take over
the Thor's hammer.
VanEck eliminates fees on their ETF undercutting BlackRock in the race to the bottom.
What have they gone to? Zero fees for how long?
March, at the end of March.
All right.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yeah. I think this is just all silly. It's not realistic for a long term.
I assume they know, like, once someone's invested in an ETF, they must be pretty sticky, right? They're going to hold it for more than a year, so you give free fees for the first year.
Like, 3 to 5 years is it the normal holding period for that.
So it's just this trying to land grab, isn't it? This initial land grab of everyone.
Yep.
They like say unsustainable long term.
But what else have they got to incentivize people coming to them? Above them, free fee, really. Like, it's all the same product.
Yeah, I guess the service doesn't really matter in this respect anyway, because it's been outsourced effectively to financial houses that deal with it and handle that side. So yeah, they are on a bit of a fee.
Custodian's probably all the same.
The custodian is probably the only difference with two of them. One has Fidelity, use their own. One of them uses Gemini, I think. I don't know who that is. But the rest of Coinbase. So yeah. And Grayscale, I guess, have got high fees and are where they are.
Wasn't there another graph? But when they announced this, didn't the inflows shoot up? Did I see that graph for this?
No, so I think people have spun. I'd have to look back, so maybe I'm wrong here.
I thought it came off the back of this, but
someone can correct me. I think they had an influx on the one day.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that day, I think they announced these fee reductions.
Right.
So I don't know if that was even related in any way whatsoever.
Because it was quite a lot higher.
Yeah, it was, yeah. But I don't know if that was any relation at all or what. We're not quite sure of that. Oh, I'm not quite sure.
You'd have to look, yeah.
Someone will have to double check that. But yeah, people were then making out that, they put the fees dead low and all of a sudden they get a massive spike. And it's like, I don't know if that was actually really what happened. But yeah, the fees to the race to the bottom, I think is, personally, I think the same with the whole industry and stuff. And I know a lot of other companies and exchanges, etc., are trying to push and do that in some ways. Stupid. Absolutely stupid concept. They're playing a game of race to the bottom and go as low as you can, perceived to be looking like you're doing good for the customer. In reality, you are forcing business models in a direction that for me wouldn't be as good a quality in the long run. And it's kind of, you're trying to grab as many customers as you can to eventually then you'll put your fees up to where it's a sustainable business model, because it's not a business model that is sustainable.
You can only do it because a lot of these companies are VC backed.
Right? Yeah, you've got the cash to do it for a short period of time, but eventually you've got to turn profitable. So you're going to end up with a company there that has not created a business model that's sustainable, that in 5-10 years time has to change the business model or has to increase the fees accordingly. But you're going to squeeze everybody else out. And then it's actually worse for the public to do that because you're squeezing out competition, that then there's less competition 10 years down the line. And then because there's less competition, then big players in the market can pretty much dictate the price and force what they want.
And then because they've built up a huge burn rate, they have to increase the fees quite substantially.
Yeah.
Which is what you see at other.
Whereas it should be about quality of service, right?
Yeah.
That should be where the focus is, as well as fees being low, obviously.
You'll get all the ridiculous thing of people say, but our fees can be low and we'll have great quality service. But reality says that doesn't happen in the real world. And you can try and say, you can say as many words as you want, but the proof's in the pudding of actually how it happens. But yeah, I think it's just a ridiculous concept to do that. People need to build a sustainable business model first, and then work out the service around it, and people will pay for the service effectively.
But it's not going to centralize around one player, is it? There'll still be, eventually the long term of this will basically just get a plateau of what is a reasonable fees.
Because
they're not all going to shut each other out.
But they are. That's exactly what they're doing. I'm not about the ETFs, I'm about exchanges.
Oh,
but the ETFs will...
You think we'll be left with a few ETFs
maybe,
and they get to a plateau of a fee?
Yeah, I imagine
so. That's the same for the exchange.
Yeah, but the exchange. Yeah, but that's what you don't want.
You want diversity of exchanges. You want as many exchanges as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Which means you need to keep as many exchanges as possible running out there at the minute, whereas other people that have got big pockets right now are trying to race to zero and squeeze on fees to push other people out.
But I don't think that's sustainable long enough to make sure like this to then start shutting other exchanges.
It has. That's what's happened. We've seen that regulation squeezes and exchanges shut, fees reduced out. We were talking to somebody the other day who was a competitor in the UK, and they were charging back in 2021 massive percentage.
So your fear is that over a long enough time horizon and regulatory squeeze and fee squeeze, you're left with very, very few exchanges.
Yes, which then obviously reduces innovation and obviously competition for a hopefully ethical and Bitcoin focused, shall we say, player.
Yeah.
Whereas other ones will just do whatever makes them money.
Be investor incentivized. So like they have to make money for the VCs that have been bankrolling that project for all those years.
Which is not necessarily the best thing for Bitcoin.
No.
So I think it's it's a bit backwards trying to push and race, force people out of the market at the minute when we're at this stage in an industry.
Mm-hmm.
We need more companies. We need more competition. We need more innovation. We need more of that. We don't want to be squeezing out competition right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's a Bitcoin itself, if avoid the regulation side, saying a long enough time horizon, the exchanges have to then put up their fees because they can't go free forever.
Yeah.
Mm. But you could, a Bitcoin exchange could just pop up because Bitcoin is accessible. Your problem is the regulatory moat that would have been created in that time.
Yeah, we already have seen the regulatory side of it is already squeezing, and people with so many in the UK we've seen shut down over that time. But actually, to go and get a license now in one of these countries, it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
You probably, to start a brand new exchange, let's say in the UK, for example, you are going to have at least $1 million, I would say, at least. And that would be to cover building out your platform and your products and everything, getting all the partners in place that you need to for KYC compliance side and everything else around it, and then actually getting the license and going through the application process. $1 million in 2 years worth of time to start off from fresh. And it, already that, you know, going back 5-6 years ago, that wasn't the case. But now it is.
And more than likely after those 2 years, it's changed completely. So you need another $1 million.
Yeah. And that'll go up substantially as well over the next couple of years, I think.
What's the solution then?
Sorry, Molly.
We digress because we're not even talking about the neck anymore.
We're on the 0%.
Talking about the UK landscape.
We're on about 0% race to the bottom in the fees. Which
bring it back.
Silly. The solution, I think, is for companies to, rather than trying to go and grab customers because your fees are the lowest. We've seen that in every other industry out there in the world. You see that, and there's companies, there's case studies on things like that where you can look and say a company's give reduced fees, but they don't create loyal customers. They create people that jump to it. Insurance is a good one because everyone, as we were just talking earlier, insurance, everybody goes to the cheapest one and just moves on to the next one. There's no loyalty, there's no quality of product as such.
That dig at me.
No, it's just...
But technology is deflationary. So like the more efficient people exchanges are becoming, the fees could be reduced.
Say that again.
So technology, if you've read...
Yeah, I got that.
Right, so technology, it breeds efficiency, so the price could come down. So as exchanges are getting more efficient, prices could slowly come down anyway.
But they're not right now. Oh, that's a different angle to go, I guess. But right now they're not.
Because the regulatory costs are forcing
to increase.
Yeah, our overhead's increasing because of regulatory burden. And actually infrastructure, it's a brand new industry.
Yeah.
Physical hardware technology, yes, is decreasing over time. But I think it needs to be, you create and you find, rather than... We're in an industry that's still a brand new industry. There's a massive market out there for people to go and grab. And rather than trying to reduce your fees and steal from competitors, go and find ways to educate and bring new people into the industry rather than trying to steal by reducing your fees. So reducing your fees and stealing from other people is not increasing the size of the pie of the industry. It's just keeping it smaller and then in theory squeezing out competition.
You'd be swimming against the tide though, because all business, I'm trying to think of one example where people haven't done that, because it's in every industry, it's a fee reduction line grab, isn't it?
There is competition, and there is in certain businesses will reduce fees and do things in ways because that's their strategy, that's their tactical strategy. However, there's other industries, or there's even in the same industry, a different one. It's like airlines is probably a good example, one where you've got like your Emirates at the top end, which is more expensive, and then you've got your Ryanair, which is like cheap as chips, and you get a certain target audience, and the demographics between the two slightly differ. And you can cater for both, but that's where like you end up with the niches and the different areas. But I don't think, for me in this industry now, I don't think we're still so early. People always say about there's less than 1% of the world that own Bitcoin. then you've got 99% to go at. Why squeeze this right now when you'd be better going out there and finding the new people to pull it? Mm-hmm. These guys,
because pulling it's easier,
new,
isn't it?
New people. Yeah, it's
easier to steal people that are already... Mm-hmm.
Already Bitcoin is already converted.
Yeah. Yeah. It's more effort, but it's like with anything, people don't want to put in the hard work.
It's a short win for a long-term loss.
Yeah.
But this industry
is all like... This whole industry is a brand new industry. It's a brand new piece of technology that is kind of doing things differently. So yeah, it's like you don't have to follow the same kind of... same kind of methods to running your company by reducing the fees and stuff. It's kind of like a different moral standing, isn't it, Bitcoin, on how you see the world.
Yeah, it's just frustrating, I think, to see. I think it'd be nicer to see real sustainable business models that then can give, in my head, a better future for Bitcoin as a whole, because you'll work in tandem.
This is the longest sentence in the world. I was trying to wait until the end.
Slam it, Molly.
Okay.
There we go.
Right. Coinbase to offer $1 billion of convertible senior notes due 2030.
Do you think that, are they just buying Bitcoin with it like Michael Saylor?
No, I don't.
I would say not.
No.
Buying shitcoins?
What are their options?
Don't know. I've not seen what they've actually said they're doing with it.
Have they done this before or not? No.
First time, as far as
general corporate purposes.
Oh.
So they need the money
to repay debts, yeah.
That doesn't sound good, does it?
Nah, it's just part of it. No, it's all, yeah, public companies are losing some stuff all the time, but it's a big, big chunk. I assume, yeah, they must have some sort
expansion plans.
What's it saying? More shitcoins.
Yeah, well, that's what I would, I mean, it's a great time to be raising to expanding whilst the tension's on the market.
It's an easy way to raise a lot of money, I guess, for a public company.
It's just not as... It's not as bullish as on Bitcoin as MicroStrategies, where they're just buying Bitcoin with it all.
Imagine if they did that, that message that they send. It makes so much more sense for them to do that in my head, because that message it sends that now all corporations are starting to put Bitcoin on the balance sheet at that level, and that's a tactic. Does that mean others will follow? And then ones that follow are likely to go to Coinbase to do it. Mm-hmm. So they would just grab a new batch of customers.
Mm-hmm. It says there they intend to use it to repay at maturity its own outstanding convertible senior notes June 2026.
Okay.
28 and
26. Well, so it's just to pay off his previous loan.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like going to a loan shark. For another loan shark.
At the IMF.
Oh, well. Mm. Nothing exciting there.
Yeah. They should have bought Bitcoin.
Yeah. Tim Draper, he said El Salvador will be able to pay off the IMF if Bitcoin hits $100,000. I'll never have to talk to them again. And they'll probably be the most attractive country in the world to live.
Who's Tim Draper? How's he know that? Is it common knowledge about
that? Who's Tim Draper?
Yeah.
Dave.
It's public info how much they owe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's just worked out from there.
Yeah.
Done the math. It's a basic calculation, I think.
Right. Tim Draper's not involved with El Salvador in any way, is he? And his...
I don't know if he's involved in it. So his son is... Thingy Draper, who's got, what's the VC?
His son.
Is it Mark Draper? No.
Well, where's Tim Draper coming from? Why should I be listening to this guy?
Adam, who helps with the Y Combinator, is it? He started Y Combinator, was it? Or the Draper VC?
Solid bit of nepotism there, then.
He's a billionaire guy, thingy. He's Tim Draper, and he's been in the industry for a long time. He's been a big Bitcoin fan for, one of the early investors in Coinbase, maybe? He's a big Bitcoiner.
Invested in Coinbase, big Bitcoiner.
Early days
when they were Bitcoin only.
Mm. Okay. I assume El Salvador are not going to do that anyway.
Pay off the IMF?
Yeah.
Well, they're not looking to sell it, are they? Just keep saying they're buy and hold, and I don't know where that goes.
Mm.
They have moved it, though, recently to called themselves custody. Yeah. And they've now gave the public address as well, which I don't think we've had before. It's like 3,000 something Bitcoin in there.
Right.
It's quite a lot in there.
6,000, I think. 6,000. With 5,000. Yeah, 5,000.
So, I've seen a lot of people are donating to it again.
Yeah.
It's got that issue again, isn't it?
Yeah, classic. $400 million of Bitcoin
on
the balance sheet.
Right.
Not bad for a country of 6 million people.
I'm pretty sure he put
it's Drake for saying get it sold and pay by the IMF.
I don't think he's saying that. I think he's just making...
They could do that if they wanted to.
Ran the basic numbers to prove that they could be independent, I think.
Well, they got put on, not the list, but they were claims that El Salvador won't be able to pay back the IMF.
IMF like, don't want people years. To pay back these loans.
No, they don't.
Oh, my God.
That's yeah. how it works.
Yeah.
Borrow more.
Well, maybe soon we could... And I can't say.
Fuck.
Oh, you tens.
I thought I realised what I was saying then. That
wasn't deliberate.
That was deliberate. All right.
Cool. Right. It'll
be interesting to see what they actually do then.
Moving on. Bitcoin MENA 2024 has been announced. World's biggest Bitcoin front conference is coming to Abu Dhabi.
Is it Bitcoin only conference?
I don't know.
It's Bitcoin Magazine, isn't it? I think
probably not then.
Helped.
How is it?
With yeah. the organisers. Okay. One of the organisers, the guy that owns the big event company over there in Abu Dhabi. The Abneck, is it? So they've kind of teamed up to do it, I think, with Bitcoin Magazine.
But that's cool. That's good news, isn't it?
It's good.
December.
It's going to be, I assume we'll make our way there and be there. But yeah, we had the first Bitcoin only one in, was that February?
Yeah.
This year that we had there.
That was Bitcoin Oasis.
In Dubai. And now it seems to be there's a bit more traction now following, which is good.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Oh, maybe not then. That was...
What was that?
Was that a shit coin?
Is that the conference as well?
But yeah. It's using the same logo.
It's just
these guys.
Is that Bitcoin Magazine shop? Is that?
And they've got on Cardano and Binance.
This isn't Bitcoin Magazine, but it looks a bit... So.
Go down to the bottom.
Oh, it might not be.
It might say at the bottom.
Is it owned by somebody else?
No, this is just
random size.
Yeah. They've done well. They'll do well.
That would have been interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the same.
Yeah, it's... I suppose it's just a
same graphic.
Go to the homepage of this website, Mike.
Don't be Bitcoin Magazine. Yeah, it's just a scraper, isn't it?
It's got all sorts of stuff. Yeah, I don't think that's Bitcoin Magazine related.
I hope not.
No, do you
Cool.
Yeah.
I was about to
that's a good, yeah. That is a good domain purchase by that person, by the way. Quick movement.
.net.
Yeah. Isn't it? There's a big contrast between the MENA territories' adoption of Bitcoin and what they're doing against the states and Biden. There's a bit of a contradiction, isn't there? They're talking about taxing miners and like MENA territories are opening arms, getting their regulatory sort of piece sorted.
Yep. But they want more people, more.
They're trying to adopt the industry whilst another country's trying to turn its back on it.
All political plays, I guess.
Right. Williston school kids visited Queen Corner. That was fun, wasn't it?
I didn't speak to any of them, if I'm honest.
I wasn't
really. So just organised it all, threw everybody under the bus.
So low impact.
They've set us up.
I kind of did, didn't I? So a local primary school reached out saying they're doing
Inspiration
Week. So they get lots of employers in the Isle of Man to reach out to show the kids what they do. So we had a class come in who was interested.
Yeah, half of them wanted to work here.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, which was quite nice. I love that guy's guy at the back and his face.
Just chilling.
It's like one of the meme ones where it's like, yeah.
So Henry gave a talk, didn't he, on them? We could probably link the slides on here, couldn't you? But the little talk on Bitcoin and just some high-level stuff to the kids, and then gave them all a bulk card. And then they gave them the choice whether they could buy sweets, didn't they? And then, but a lot of them saved it, apparently. Did they? Or did they?
Three or four of them saved it.
Yeah.
They were at the back of the room.
I didn't see that.
They were saying, like they're going to keep it. But they knew some of the shops here accepted Bitcoin, so they were going to keep it and then go to that at another time.
Oh, that's cool.
But wait for the price to go up and then go, I think.
I mean, we've done this before with schools, local schools. I think it's quite a cool thing to do, especially in our industry, to try and educate people.
Yeah.
A lot of kids don't get much of a monetary education or a financial education.
It was surprising how many of them knew about Bitcoin and what it was, and that was what surprised me more than anything.
What percentage of them would you say, like 90% or
50%?
I'd probably say like 50-60% probably knew Bitcoin. Maybe a smaller percentage actually knew a little bit more about what it is. A lot of them, I spoke to a couple of them where they'd said like they'd seen it on like their YouTube videos, they watched the kids' YouTube videos and stuff. It gets mentioned in them all the time. One of them actually told me a video to go and watch that had it. He knew the episode and everything, the season and the episode for it.
Research.
Which he clearly knew and remembered that.
So you gave him a little talk, didn't you? Did you get any awkward questions?
Nothing too not bad. Really, no. Yeah. No. Actually, surprisingly quite all right.
That's quite an inspiring talk that you gave them.
Oh, thanks.
Was it? But, yeah. Did you get a recording of it?
No, but it was. No. No. Wasn't that inspiring? No, it was no TED talk.
Might as well not happen then.
No.
Picture?
No, not at all. No,
it was about. Recording. What was your 3 points?
I had three points, which is more of a careers thing than a Bitcoin thing. So right. It's more meant to be Balat.
Yeah.
It's just the 3 points of do something you enjoy as a career because it becomes a hobby and not a job. You need a team around you, so teamwork, and not you can't do it yourself. And what's my third point?
Failure.
Oh, yeah. Failures are okay. Failing's okay.
Yeah, so the kids that's go back to nice. School like, oh, it's okay to fail. Danny said so.
Mm-hmm. I failed.
Handed in that spelling test or maths test. It's okay to fail. Danny Scott said it.
Exactly.
No, it's good. We get them little goodie packs with Paramount socks in.
Mm.
They'll fit them in a few years.
Yeah. I don't know, some of those kids are quite big.
It's all that's cool.
Yeah, it was good. It was rewarding.
And we should do more of it? More schools?
I mean, it was an hour. It's an hour out of the day, isn't it? And it's,
mm-hmm.
I think it's...
Only an hour.
Ignoring all the prep that goes into it.
Yeah, I think...
I didn't see much prep.
Because didn't do any of it.
No, you just set
everything
up.
I sorted out that itinerary. Boosh, boosh, boosh.
Yeah, you're doing this, you're doing that.
I heard you had an accounting agenda. You got George giving them a presentation on accounting.
Yeah. It's just like, I always think people overlook it for primary school kids or any sort of children that aren't given.
Why didn't you go around each department and get compliance to do a
no one wants to hear about compliance. No, we don't need more
trying to keep these kids interested.
We don't need
accounting's not the way.
Just think it's important, a little home budget.
Sounds like you're trying to push your own agenda there, Dave.
And that's what Bitcoin's about. It makes you think about slightly more about these things. We don't want kids walking off thinking about compliance.
I think it's good that kids at any level are learning about finances. Like I went through primary school and high school without learning anything about
important.
I think unless you take finances at sixth form level, you don't learn anything at school.
Mm.
Same.
This is a stepping stone in the right direction then.
Mm-hmm. Well done, Dave.
Thank you.
Cool.
Well, Dave gave credit.
Solid effort.
I know, yeah. He didn't. He literally just sat
you didn't even leave your desk, did you?
No.
Just came in.
No.
Didn't even come say hi.
No.
Nope.
Well, it was lovely.
It was good, yeah. I do... Going forwards, definitely. I mean, we've done it in the past, haven't we? But it's just been ad hoc. And maybe we could set something up. But I think we'd need a proper structure of like, here's the basics. And then we know exactly what we're doing. So it's like, just jump in and do it.
And just get Dave to throw it together for us.
Yeah, because it meant that everyone had to prepare like little slideshows and stuff.
It'd be interesting to see how other age ranges react to, not the same thing, but like, well, do you see the education level in terms of finance go up?
Increasing.
Yeah. And can you impact several age kind of ranges?
Yeah, I'd like to go to like a university, do something similar there where you can to see the one education on the financial economy money side, but to see what their perception of Bitcoin is at different age ranges. And, and that is in some ways as well a good help to how to then go out and educate people.
Because surely anyone studying economics at the moment, surely they've got modules of...
Oh, there's no crypto. As far as
I'm saying.
Yeah. Start to come in.
You'd expect, now, I think, surely. Probably,
yeah.
They usually take 3 to 6. Now. They take like 3 to 6 years, don't they, to get through the curriculum and get in for anything new. So
you'd start to see it now.
Maybe you'd start to be seeing it now, potentially.
Surely.
They do. They've got courses, I think, on it, but I don't know about modules within existing courses. Mm. Yeah, because they did like new courses on blockchain and all sorts of things, didn't they? But if it was like an economy.
There was an article in Bloomberg last week about people calling themselves like blockchain and crypto experts by just doing, but when there's really no certification that's recognized. So they're just doing
someone
really short Udemy courses, 4 hours, and call themselves blockchain certified or Bitcoin certified.
Mm.
Yeah, so there needs to be some standardization about how it's taught, I suppose.
Okay. Oh, that was it. No, we've got two more things. Dear Dave.
Oh, can we just talk about the bloody theme tune?
Great, it's
and
brilliant.
The image.
You spoiled it on me last minute.
I want
to get something better will come in when
I like it.
Grandiose.
That was good.
Williams Zimmer-esque build-up and then...
I liked it. No, I liked what
Mike... I feel like
what was it? Like, is something like Benny Hill or something?
Like a...
Instantly.
I mean,
it's getting people ready for Dave.
The answers have then, if you have a grand right, okay, entrance, right. The answers have got to match that, Dave.
Right, I'm ready for this one then.
Nah, I didn't.
This will be massive.
Sean Weber, he is Sean O'Graffy on Twitter, said, do you have any plans for Liquid network integration in the future?
So Liquid is Blockstream's version of a layer 2 on Bitcoin, right? To help transactions. It's a layer 2. It is a layer 2.
No.
Blockstream call it a layer 2. Layer 2 solution. Both of you are wrong.
It's a side chain. Really. Side chain, I would classify it more as, but I think, yeah, they're just...
It's not the same. The Liquid network is a blockchain, a Bitcoin layer 2 solution. Maybe you guys call it side chain?
For plain English.
All right, people call it layer 2.
It's more side chain-esque.
So I'm right on that. Probably to help speed up transactions from main chain, right? 10 minutes, they're probably 1 minute. I would say probably,
I think.
Just again, let's look at how fast.
Well, this is the most butchered answer.
Yeah, the reason it's just not serious.
The reason all the Liquid chat has kind of been talked about recently, right?
One to one backed
is due to.
It is one to one backed.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I'm answering Zach.
All right.
Because you were answering Zach.
I know quite a bit about Liquid, but
okay. Yeah, the reason why it's kind of come up regularly recently is with the launch of Aqua, I assume, where they're Lightning wallet that also does like submarine swaps straight to Liquid, and all around the mempool like backlog and chain fees to do with Lightning, and kind of figuring out the best solution to actually scale Bitcoin.
What's the advantage of getting Liquid over Lightning? I would have thought Lightning is probably where most of the bulk of development stuff.
They're not the same. But they're trying to solve
the same problem.
No.
Help. Are they not?
To help them scale Bitcoin.
More than anything, yeah. So Lightning is still, is it 8 or is there more now? I don't know how many federations there is.
It's kind Liquid, of like, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, Liquid. Sorry, did I say Lightning?
Yeah.
Man, Liquid.
Yeah, you're confusing everything.
Liquid, my bad.
I'm not sure. I mean, it's been a long
time. Doesn't know what he's on about.
Early hours of the morning meetings this morning that, you know, somebody else should have been there. But
it's not in my diary. It's not in my diary.
In my diary. Dave was late for a meeting.
Yeah, missed it. It wasn't late. You missed the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, but I got the second half.
Liquid have X amount, say 10 federations, whatever, that are like the kind of like Fediment style thing, I guess, if you think of it a little bit like that. So it's not trustless.
Mm-hmm.
It's trusted by them federations. Which is because Liquid's been around since 2016, 2017.
Yeah, at least
maybe.
Yeah. And haven't really seen much traction, if we're honest, has it?
Until the Aqua wallet.
Until recently, obviously with Aqua.
But Aqua is not a spin-off from Blockstream stuff anyway. So is it not?
Of course
they're going to have Liquid in it.
It's not a spin-off. It's Samsung's own thing.
And used to work for
Jan 3 used to work, yeah. And then I think they took what's the wallet called, Green Wallet?
Green Wallet
as a base, I think, to build on, which was what Aqua
became. And that already had Liquid in it, Liquid integration.
I think so.
So that's why it's in Aqua.
But it's not just they've integrated, they're doing it alongside Lightning, so you can swap Lightning for Liquid and Liquid back to Lightning.
But like, why would you want to?
When the chain fees are so high and you want to get off Lightning back onto Bitcoin, when you open a channel, your kind of closing channel fees are preset. So if you close and your preset channel fees are super low, your channel will never close because it'll never get confirmed. Right. So you can't get funds back until it's confirmed.
And because
whereas they're doing like a submarine swap to Liquid instead,
which is
you
like
can get it on Liquid Bitcoin, which, you know, if that's more adopted, you can use it other places.
Right.
What is a submarine swap?
Oh, God.
We've gone off the tangent.
Yeah.
The
question is, not in the short term.
Okay.
That's not true.
We're adopting that in the short term.
It's on a roadmap.
It's already on the roadmap for the tech this year.
This year?
Yeah. I don't know what you're classifying as short term.
One to 2 months.
Yeah. Got you there then.
God. Well, luckily it's next week.
Yeah. Well, you get it for like next week. I'll apologise.
It got added to the roadmap for someone to look at this year.
10 minutes ago.
No, about a month or two ago. Was it? About 2 months ago, I think we were discussing that. When we were going through the roadmap. So yeah, we were just saying...
Why have we had to do it? Because the adoption is growing in Liquid.
A little bit of adoption in some ways, but also obviously with backlog of... if we think the bull market's coming now and there's going to be a bigger backlog over the next 2 years, then Lightning obviously is one solution, but then Liquid could be another a scaling solution for us to add in. The downside, the reason why we've not said, right, get in immediately is because there's not much adoption out there for, yes, we've got it, but if you can't send to Binance by Liquid, for example, and a customer wants to send to Binance, then they're going to have to use on-chain or Lightning anyway. And Coinbase are never going to support Liquid.
Do you think it could be slightly confusing for users to have both Lightning and Liquid?
Yeah. Yeah.
So one of the arguments from Aqua is it makes it less confusing that you're not dealing with Lightning and opening channels and stuff, but then I add it actually keeps the confusion because you're dealing with LBTC.
You're throwing in Liquid in there.
Yeah.
It'd be better eventually. Well, it's better eventually just to be Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And you're just sending Bitcoin. You don't know whether it's going on Lightning or Liquid.
I agree with that completely.
That's the ideal eventual solution, but that's going to take time.
And that's much easier custodially when you do non-custodial stuff. That becomes a massive challenge to kind of just have Bitcoin only.
Which is kind of what the Aqua's doing. Yeah. That's non-custodial, and they tried to do it in that way to make it seem like it's more seamless in that sense.
Okay.
Which is a good concept. It's just going to be... building this out, it's still going to take years to get everybody to interact and work together, I guess.
So what was the guy's
name?
What was the guy's name?
Sean.
So Sean, I think that answers your question.
It's crazy. 10 more questions.
Yeah, it's clear. Sean, that was perfect. That was for you. Short to long term.
Short and sweet answer.
Right. Okay. Announcement time.
No. Here we go. What do you want Mikey to do? A little drum roll?
Drum roll.
This is any better than the Dear Dave segment. If it's better than the Dear Dave segment, I'll be booting.
I don't know. In true announcement style, we don't usually announce it very well, do we?
Well, no. The greatest one ever is still recurring Lightning payments.
Right now, this is a terrible announcement.
Yeah.
That was good.
Thank you.
It's in sync with our...
No t-shirts, no poppers.
But...
No nothing. But bottles.
Oh, subtle product placement all episode.
Well, that's far too close up with your face, Danny. Well, no one needs to see that.
Move it towards you a little bit.
Wow, really totally killing the announcement.
Just try and get there. We go.
I'm going to consider the beat.
Yeah. Nice. Sorry, Molly.
Earlier this month, Coin Corner acquired the Bitcoin Bottle. Very exciting. Was that our third acquisition?
Yep.
Woo! So the Bitcoin Bottle, they've been around, I think, since 2021, haven't they? A couple of years? Or maybe earlier.
I think earlier than that.
Yeah. Shout out to Chris and Brad for building it up to what it is. It's now a Coin Corner product available to buy. Lovely stainless steel bottle. Can have hot or cold. You've got hot in your one, haven't you?
I've got a cup of coffee in mine.
He's got a cup of coffee in his. Very well made. Lovely stainless steel. Nice little Bitcoin emblem on that. I'm showing it, but I'm too far away from the camera.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little Bitcoin emblem on the bottom. Mm. And yeah.
So I think this is all around that our education push and Bitcoin and how you market and things like that is difficult in our industry anyway, but... keeping Bitcoin brand out there has been something that we wanted to maintain, which obviously with the Mount socks that we do, the Bitcoin socks, this was kind of just another addition to keep Bitcoin out there in the physical world, I guess, where it keeps reminding people of Bitcoin.
And I think it's a product we knew already and used already. Mm. Anyone that watches the pod, I have mine most weeks.
Yeah,
sat here.
Massive teaser all these weeks.
All this time. But we know it's a good solid product that lasts.
Yeah.
The guys have done really well to build it up to what it is.
Nice branding. Very nice branding.
Yep. And we'll take it from here. But we remain the same. Messaging remains the same. The only thing that's changed is the price.
Price is cheaper.
We've brought the price down on them so that you can get them for 21
quid. Is it Bitcoin only yet?
I think it should be now, yeah. I'd have to double check. We'll say yes, it is by the time this comes out.
Yeah, we're making it Bitcoin only. Previously, they accepted fiat, but we're Bitcoiners. So,
yeah. If you're a Coin Corner customer or a Bitcoiners listener, you can use the code CC15 and get it for 15 quid instead of 21. Mm. Oh, I know.
That live now. Cost me that.
Yes.
Nice.
Nice. Try
they
and
do
see.
Look cool, man. I like them, to be fair.
What's the domain? TheBitcoinBottle.com?
Yeah.
Mike, you'll overlay the website.
Yeah, it's very nice, but we didn't do this brand either. The guys that we acquired it from did all this and build.
We just stuck the coin on the label.
It was good looking. Sorry, Mike.
No, no, no.
Just forgot who was in the room.
No,
it's done very professionally and looks nice.
I like your tweet the other day where there's loads of Spider-Mans because it was kind of wasn't
it? Yeah, it was good. Wasn't
teaser
it?
That. No, but Gandalf was the reply to that.
Gandalf
well.
And Money Ninja,
wasn't he?
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Confused. Like, hang on, this was you guys. Like, no, it wasn't.
I snuck that in as a little teaser.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, excited to have this on board.
Cool.
Nice looking bottle. So yeah. CC50 to get it for 15 quid instead of 21 if you're a CoinQuant customer or a Britcoin as listener as well.
Excellent.
Yeah.
You can still pay with card. You need to change that. Quick, go to Bitcoin only before this goes out.
You got one day. Cool.
Right.
That's it.
That's it.
One way to end it.
Right. Cheers.
Bye.